Welcome back to the program. Hour number two, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Las Vegas, Nevada. Your other host is out on the East Coast, Boston, Massachusetts. That would be Josh Applebaum, but he is going to join the program momentarily as we get into some of these trends in the National Football League. We were talking about this earlier, Josh and I, in terms of what to expect for the Super Bowl and who should you watch, who should you key in on, what strategies should you implement. Certainly prop bets are going to be part of that. I think everybody's going to be enjoying the prop bets. We just talked to Dwayne Colucci, who talked about his situation at the Rampart, how many props and how everybody's going to be excited. My approach about it, I'm certainly eager to get Josh Applebaum's approach about it too. We heard James Salinas talk about how you approach props, and James Salinas is going to hire people to help him manage that situation. For me, it's more of a macro or micro situation where I just got to fine tune and look at matchups and look at people that I really want to be interested in with props, because there's going to be so many offered out there. And Josh, when we talk about props, what's your strategies or what's your approach as you brought that up with Dwayne Colucci a little bit earlier in the show about all the props that's going to be available to sports bettors?
Yeah, Pritch, it's a great question. I think, you know, the one thing to keep in mind here is that, you know, props in recent years have just absolutely exploded. And I think it's not just, you know, the average Joe or Jane. You know, again, this is a game where everyone wants to get a little action. So if I can bet on, you know, a guy to score or the MVP, or we have crazy ones like, you know, about commercials or the length of the national anthem. I mean, every year it gets bigger and bigger and there's more options. But I would definitely suggest everyone listening, go to VSiN.com/Super Bowl, because we're putting together kind of a big just Super Bowl kind of mega sheet here with Dave Tooley and the whole crew. And I did an article, just some tips for betting props. One thing that I always, and it kind of, I had to lose some props to kind of get this here, Pritch, but is the fact that a lot of recreational bettors, when they bet props, they go to a lot of yeses and a lot of plus money payouts. Like, I want to put $10 down on will there be a safety and get $100 if it hits. So there's that kind of public bias, almost like betting parlays, where you want to put down a little to make a lot. But a lot of sharp bettors actually go the other way. They bet a lot of no's. They bet a lot of minus numbers, you know, things that won't happen, because, you know, to that, someone told me a long time ago, and I've done it pretty much every year, will there be a safety? No. And will the game go to overtime? No. You know, you got to lay like minus 300, minus 400. As soon as those numbers come out, I pretty much bet it every year. So those are something to keep an eye out for. And then also, you know, here's my personal pet peeve here, Pritch, don't bet the coin flip.
Okay.
Because the coin flip, the reason why is that, you know, you say, hey, it's a 50-50 chance. It'll be either be heads or tails, and let's make it fun. You know, maybe I can cash $10 before the game starts, get off to a great start. Here's the thing. The sportsbooks juice up both sides, like minus 105 heads, minus 103 tails. If you are laying more than even money, you're laying a minus number on something that happens at a 50-50 rate, you're actually not getting a good number. You're getting, you know, minus expected value. So again, if you want to do it, you want to have some fun, all the power to you. But don't bet the coin flip, because you're behind the eight ball and you're paying more than a 50-50 shot for something that happens only 50-50, you know, out of 100 times.
Right, right. And so I thought we were going to get into an in-depth discussion about the official. Okay, what type of official do we have? Is he a high flipper or is he a low flipper? Is the ground soft? You know, I mean, you can examine these props, sorry, that way. I mean, I think we can get convoluted. And certainly you have to manage the prop situation kind of like the like a bankroll. At least that's how I'm approaching it, Josh. When I'm looking at prop situations, I'm looking at, okay, how do I manage all these plays? I don't want to have a pocket full of tickets. I want to have a sheet. I want to have a layout. I want to have a spreadsheet or whatever I need to do in terms of trying to have my props formulated and make sure that I know what I'm doing and make sure that I'm managing everything that I need to manage at the right time. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today and going over some props. And how about some trends, Josh Applebaum? Our producer, Nick, he's put together some pretty interesting trends here when it comes to the Super Bowl. Historical trends. Now, are these meaningful or meaningless? I got to throw that caveat out there right now. Let's start with trend number one. Teams wearing white have won 13 of the last 16 Super Bowls. Is that a meaningful trend or a meaningless trend, Josh Applebaum?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Pritch. If I don't know if the Patriots will ever get back to the Super Bowl, but Belichick wearing a red hoodie, that you never want that. That's terrible. Don't ever do that. But I would put this one. So number one, it just jumps out to you. 13 of the last 16 have wore white. I think this is meaningless. I just don't think there's much of a predictive outcome here. Just in terms of the color of the jersey, that's more of coincidence than it is anything that I would put my stock into. But Pritch, I wanted to ask you, a lot of times, when the Patriots would go down to Miami or you're going to a hot weather place, the home team wears white, the road team, you put them in a dark color, make the sun really beat down on them. So maybe that has something to do with it. But, to me, that's meaningless. I think that's a coincidence. I wouldn't bet the team in the white jersey just because of that trend.
Okay. I'm going to throw some data at you, Josh Applebaum. One team, the Denver Broncos, 1977, went to the Super Bowl. They lost. They were wearing orange. They went to the Super Bowl in 86. I believe it was 86. They were wearing orange. They lost. They went to 89 Super Bowl. They were wearing orange. They lost. Peyton Manning. This is after the Elway years. Peyton Manning went to the Super Bowl the first year against Seattle. They wore orange and they lost. They won in white. And in fact, the Super Bowl that they won, Super Bowl 50, against Carolina, I asked Gary Kubiak this question. I said, are you going to put on the orange jerseys? You guys are the home team. And he laughed at it. But then as the game kicked off, we saw the Denver Broncos wearing white. I think it's in the psyche. And you think about Gary Kubiak. He's been with the Broncos forever, since the early 80s, right? And so everybody knew about that particular situation, wearing the orange jerseys with the Broncos. Do not put those on in the Super Bowl.
No, hey, I like it, Pritch. Hey, you can convince me. I have my own ideas, but hey, I am willing to be moved with a good grand jury explanation there, which I like. But so hey, there could be something there. The other thing is, hey, if I'm holding a Bucks plus 3.5 ticket, I hope they wear white in that case, Pritch.
Right. Well, I mean, the trend is 13. They've won 13 out of the last 16 Super Bowls. Teams wearing white. Anyway, trend number two. Meaningful or meaningless? The team with the worst regular season record is 12-2 in the last 14 Super Bowls.
I would lean a little more to meaningful here, and yeah. I'll tell you why, Pritch. And again, not just because this would favor the Bucks for having the worst record here, but I kind of think when you get to the Super Bowl and you have 2 weeks of information to look at, win-loss records, ATS records, all this type of stuff, the narrative obviously forms based on, okay, Mahomes is incredible. Yeah, Brady's the GOAT, but the Chiefs have the much better record. What I'm getting at here is the fact that this kind of creates some public bias where if they're betting this game, and this is the most, publicly bet, biggest handle event of the entire year, I think you're going to be biased toward the team with the better record. So the fact that, the Chiefs have the better record and teams with these better records have not come through, I think that gives you a little credence, little buy low opportunity, maybe get better juice or maybe an inflated number by kind of going contrarian in this regard and backing the team with the worst record. So and also maybe you got some losses, you kind of bounce back from them. And, hey, I would put a little into that. I kind of like that. You can kind of buy low on a team with the worst record.
All right. Getting through these trends here. Meaningful or meaningless trends when it comes to the Super Bowl? There's a lot of them. Trend number three, favorites are 36-18 straight up in Super Bowl history.
So I would say it's a little meaningful. I mean, obviously, if you're considered the favorite by the sports books, the basic thing there is you're the quote unquote, the better team and you're expected to win. So, in these situations, again, you are seeing these better teams win at a pretty high rate. I'd be interested to see, what are your units won there? Because even though you're, like 18 games above 500, if these favorites are, minus seven, my Patriots in the Super Bowl, the David Tyree game, Pritch, they were a 12-point favorite there and they lost straight up. So I would be wary of laying, to me, anytime straight up, I always go to money line. What does the money line pay out there? So I think it makes sense. The better team more often than not does win. But then that begs the question of, you're betting the money line. And if you're laying these minus numbers, is that payout or units won as good as that record you would think it'd be?
Right. And then you got to look at the price on that money line too for these situations as well. I expect that we'll get a lot of action on the money line in this one though, Josh. Trend number four, favorites are 12-4 in Super Bowls played in Florida, 8-2 in Miami. How about that one? Meaningful or meaningless?
Meaningless means nothing, because that means the Chiefs are going to win, and that means I'm going to lose my bucks $3.5. But no, I hear you on that one. That's interesting. You know, and I credit to our guy Nick, because a lot of these are really surprising here. But I don't think the location to me has a big impact on the outcome, unless it's in this situation like a true home game for the Bucks, which is crazy. But it could be played in, you know, Florida, Texas, California, you know, the Superdome in Louisiana. I don't see too much of a correlation there between favorites in Florida, but there's something in the water down there, Pritch. That must be the thing.
There's something about that state. I won my championship in Florida, so I'll take it. 1-0. Well, actually 1-1 in Miami.
Were you favored in that game, Pritch? Do you remember?
You know what? I don't remember offhand. I think
you got to look that up.
I know the first time around against Notre Dame, I won't say we were favorite, but I think we were favorite the second time around. But don't quote me on that, because that's a thought. I really have no idea. We didn't pay attention to lines
that's
back
right.
then.
You weren't supposed to know. That's exactly.
That's right. Trend number five. AFC is 11-5 in Super Bowls played in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. That's not. Disregard that one too.
Meaningful, Pritch, meaningless. That's meaningless, right? Yeah.
That's definitely meaningless. No, yeah, that's interesting too. I don't see a ton there. You know, you look at your AFC teams. You have Miami. We're gonna miss some of these Florida teams here. You know, obviously you have different teams overall. But I don't see, unless it's you know, you're playing in your home stadium again. That's the only thing I could think of. But to me, that's more coincidental. And I don't like it because it's against the Bucks.
Well, and I don't like it either. One, because the Bucks, and then also I think the Bucks are betting, bucking the trend here, or all trends, when it comes to hosting a Super Bowl in your own stadium. There's no trend for that. So I think all of these so far are meaningless, except when it comes to the Bucks. And we'll see if they wear white or not at home. Trend number six, the team with fewer Super Bowl experienced players have won 9 of the last 14 Super Bowls. How about that one? Meaningful or meaningless?
So I'm going to say this might be a little meaningful, and obviously Brady has the most experience of all time ever. This is his 10th Super Bowl, but look at the rest of that roster. Gronk's right. been there, but other than that, a lot of these guys have not been there. And you look at KC, and they return a ton of starters from last year. All these guys pretty much played last year. What jumps out to me there, the lack of experience, it may be a situation where it benefits you just because it's such a huge game. There's so many pressures in this game where when you're kind of dumb and young, it may not get to you. And you just kind of you play your game and you don't overthink it. Whereas maybe if you're used to this experience a little bit more, maybe you overthink it. I don't know. That's the first thing that came to mind here, Pritch. But other than Brady and Gronk, that would benefit here with my Bucks with lack of experience.
Another reason why there's a certain angle here, too, because I heard Brady Brady talking about there's so many great guys in this locker room in Tampa. You know, he's really cherishing that moment, being able to play in Tampa, that I want to help these guys win a Super Bowl. I know what it feels like. Gronk knows what it feels like. I want to help these guys. I mean, there's something to that, Josh.
I think there definitely is something to that. And, that's key. It goes to Brady's leadership. And
right.
I think around Boston, and I listen to talk radio, big thing is comparing Rodgers to Brady. And, you know, Rodgers talking about his MVP odds, and he knows all his stats, and Brady just getting guys to play for him and being a leader and being a team player. So, yeah, it's going to be great. You know, I don't think we're going to get the conventional Super Bowl week with the media and all that stuff just because COVID may impact that a little bit. But I can't wait to hear all these guys on Tampa Bay. Like, you know, what has it been like playing with a GOAT? You know, what influence does Brady have? And the other thing is, like, Belichick versus Brady. Bruce Arians, never known as a great coach. He looks pretty good with Brady. So, do you take a little shine off of what Belichick's done? It's tough. He's still the greatest ever. But, what an impact Brady has on his teammates and his coaches.
Oh, it does speak to leadership. You're right. I think guys will fight for that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, run the ball next time or hit Lazard on the crossing route instead of forcing it to Devontae Adams. Maybe you'd be in Tampa, as in terms of MVP and all these stats that you're paying attention to. Let's move on here. Trend number seven, the underdog has won 4 of the last 6 Super Bowls with an AFC West team playing. This is narrowing the scope here, Josh. Meaningful or meaningless?
I'm having a tough time following this one. So, yeah, 4 of the last 6 AFC West team playing. Okay, that makes sense to me. I'm going to say that's meaningless just in terms of I would have to run through who those teams were, who they were playing, all that sort of stuff. What was the line on the game? So I'll say that's meaningless, Pritch, but what's your take on that one? Any validity there?
No, no, no validity. It's meaningless. Yeah, I mean, these Super Bowls, it's hard to predict those. And in terms of wanting to bet based on that trend, the underdog has won four of the last six Super Bowls with an AFC West team playing. No, I mean, what, Peyton Manning? And now Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you have two unicorns in that one. So, yeah, I mean, I think that trend's kind of meaningless when you think about that. It tells you to the level, though, that Patrick Mahomes is playing to, though. Back-to-back Super Bowls, three straight AFC championship games. It's incredible.
Really is incredible here, Pritch. And kind of this last one here, trend number eight, looking at AFC is 8-3 in the last 10 Super Bowls played outdoors. Now, let me flip it on you, Pritch. I'm going to flip the script. Any validity of that? My first reaction is, are there more AFC teams that play in the cold, in the elements, in the outdoors, in fewer dome stadiums? I don't have the breakdown here. That's the first thing that comes to mind. But what do you think there? AFC 8-3 in the last 10 Super Bowls played outdoors.
You know, I didn't think about that.
I don't want it to happen because I'm back in the Bucks, I think, at this point. AFC 8-3 in the last 10 Super Bowls played outdoors.
Wow. Because I'm trying to factor in the quarterbacks. I mean, you're talking Tom Brady, right? I mean, he's pretty much the bulk of that trend right there. He's been to 10 Super Bowls. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and now Patrick Mahomes. So you got to factor in that, too, more so than the teams, I would believe.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And now I'm thinking about it, too. I'm thinking about the elements, weather, outdoors. And it's like, this is always in a hot weather, southern area, you know, stadium with some great weather overall. So, yeah, we don't like that one either, you know, with favoring Mahomes in that one, I guess. Yeah. But, Pritch, one thing I did want to mention, just in terms of trends and maybe a cautionary tale and, you know, looking at stuff like this. When I was writing my book, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting, I looked a lot at confirmation bias. So confirmation bias is basically looking and seeking out stats and trends that support your preconceived notion and ignoring trends that go against what you think. So I think that sometimes with sports betting is really hard, and you want to search out stuff that only kind of goes with your preconceived notion and your opinion there. But I think that can be a kind of a bad thing. It can kind of blind you. It can talk you into a play just because you're seeking info that validates that. You're maybe going against information that doesn't benefit you. So these trends are great. I learned something here. These are numbers that next time I'm doing you know, beer trivia, when I can go out, when COVID's done with, I'll have some numbers here. So I'll win some free stuff. But that's just my one take with trends. Just be careful of betting based on trends. And what I always look at is I look on Twitter, and sometimes they're like, I like this team A, because they're 5-0 on a Wednesday. They're 20-20 here. Da 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 da. And I just want to say, like, yeah, but they went from, you know, +5 to +8. You know, like the line moved the other way. So trends are great, but you got to remember, pros know these trends and every other trend. They know what the coach ate for breakfast, you know, this morning. So if they're moving a number, then these trends, don't think you uncover a trend and say, I'm the only one in the world who knows it. That's all known. I would put more stock into the line movement. That's going to be, to me, a better indicator of where the respective money's going.
Definitely more stock in the line movement and the insight there that could provide as well. As far as trends, too, I'll ask you this one. Do they shift now that Tom Brady is no longer in the AFC to the NFC? Because if you look at the last, 20 years, it's littered with New England Patriots and Tom Brady winning Super Bowls or going to Super Bowls. So all these AFC trends, do they all of a sudden shift over the last 20 years to the NFC now because Tom Brady's in the NFC?
Pritch, I think that's a brilliant point, my friend, because think of it this way. If Brady was drafted in the sixth round, 199 overall to the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he's been there the last 20 years, I would say almost assuredly don't have that Patriots dynasty. You may have the Bucks, you know, going for their seventh Super Bowl here. So that's just an impact, a commentary on Brady and what a game changer he is. And, you know, it was funny, like, you know, the last I've been betting sports every day for, you know, almost like 11 years now. And every Sunday when it was Belichick and Brady, you know, they would be the public play. The line would move in, you know, you'd have sharp action the other way. It wouldn't matter. Brady and Belichick would cover every time. You look at their stats, they're like 60% ATS, right? Belichick and Brady together. So Brady's kind of the antidote to everything. He's the exception to every rule. He's the ultimate GOAT, as we all know. But you're right, Pritch. You know, all these stats favoring AFC. If Brady just had been drafted by an NFC team and stayed there forever, flip all these stats, they would all be favoring an NFC team.
I know. What is he? 4-3 straight up, 2-5 ATS as a favorite, as an underdog, which he is now.
2-0, straight up, 2-0 ATS. Just an amazing, amazing career by Tom Brady. And then the beginning of an amazing career so far for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's incredible that we get this matchup in the Super Bowl, Josh.
It really is. And yeah, I just saw a stat here. Mahomes, he's 25 years old. How scary is that? And like, that guy's 25. He's only going to get better. If you are a Kansas City sports bettor, sports fan, you love the Chiefs, I mean, you are very lucky that he signed that, trillion-dollar deal there in the offseason.
Close, right. Close to a trillion.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. I mean, you are lucky you got that guy for the next probably 15 years or more.
Oh, yeah. He is entrenched. Kansas City owns a baseball team, too. How about that? Part of an ownership situation. How about Super Bowl MVP odds? They have shifted big time. We'll talk about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. To hire, then you need Indeed. Indeed will immediately deliver quality candidates from a resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Appelbaum with you today. And Josh, the latest update, BetMGM Super Bowl MVP odds. If you really like these odds, maybe catching them last week would have been helpful. Patrick Mahomes goes from plus 325 to plus 100. Tom Brady goes from plus 550 to plus 200. Tyreek Hill, 14-1 down to plus 900. Travis Kelce, this is interesting. He was 16-1, now 10-1 for odds, updated odds, BetMGM updated odds for Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, so first off, Pritch, I think all the viewers and the listeners last week owe you a beer, because weren't you the guy who was saying Tom Brady MVP, get this early? I want to say he was, 15-1, 20-1, 12. I mean, I remember you were mentioning that, and you, again, that would you would need the Tampa Bay to beat Green Bay, and they did. So we talked about how if you're betting that award, you want to get in on it really last week. So that just tells you with sports betting, beating the closing number, getting in something early, that's really, really meaningful. But Pritch, yeah, obviously, we know Mahomes won it last year. I'm just looking at the last few winners here before that. It was Edelman, Nick Foles, Brady, Von Miller, Brady again, Malcolm Smith, and that's Seattle Legion of Boom year, Flacco, Eli, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Santonio Holmes, Eli. The list goes on and on here. But basically, of course, this is a quarterback-heavy award. Mahomes, I think, will get a ton of action here, and you're really not getting the greatest payout here at this point. You would have loved to jump on it early. Brady down to plus 200. We've seen that move in his direction. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. Kelce, he's a guy who is just lighting it up here, putting up incredible stats. You know, I think if you're going to try to beat the Bucks and Bulls, beat KC, you're going to have to limit double Kelce, double Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. But he's just the kind of a guy, if you're looking for a flyer, a guy that, can put up 12 catches for 150 yards and two touchdowns, and maybe Mahomes, throws a couple picks and, kind of it goes to Kelce, kind of like Edelman got it a couple years ago. That would be intriguing to me. But, again, how can you bet against Mahomes? Brady's another odds-on favorite. You would think one of the two of those would win the award.
Patrick Mahomes is interesting because he's going to have the numbers, certainly throwing a ball. But you wonder, is it going to be the shorter throws because Tampa Bay maybe taken away the big play and the shorter throws? So now you have run after the catch situations. Tyreek Hill plus 900. Travis Kelce in the red zone. If Kansas City can matriculate the ball down the field and get into the red zone, now you're talking about the number one eligible on the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and that's Travis Kelce. I'm expecting him to get a lot of targets if that's the game plan, if the game plays out that way. On the other side, Leonard Fournette, 20-1. No, Mike Evans, no, 20-1. And then you have Chris Godwin, 35-1. He had a big play in a conference championship game that kind of helped keep that momentum when Tampa Bay really needed that. And then on top of it, is there a possible fatigue angle here for Tom Brady being an MVP? Like, I don't think there is. I think voters would look at Tom Brady and this accomplishment if he does win this Super Bowl, and there will not be a fatigue issue with Tom Brady winning it.
I'm right there with you, Pritch, because, again, you know, Brady's won it all. He's won this award so many countless times here. And the Patriots fatigue, the Brady fatigue, you even saw it where Edelman, I think deservedly so, he lit it up, had a great game in that game, you know, two years ago, and it went to wide receiver, not Brady. But I'm with you. I think it's actually the other way. I think Brady, number one, his age, 43 okay. years old. How could a guy this old possibly switch teams, go to a new team, take a team, you know, kind of a losing franchise and really put him on put it on his back and lead this team to the Super Bowl? It's incredible. You also have the game being played in their home stadium. So many factors at play here. And I think Brady, as long as if they win, the other thing is read between the lines, Pritch. Brady is the second overall favorite, but no one else on Tampa is really that close. What does that tell you? It tells you if Tampa Bay wins, there's a good chance that the war is going to go to Brady.
Yeah, and if you want to get Tom Brady out the National Football League, go okay, win the Super Bowl in your home stadium and win the Super Bowl MVP. There's nothing else you can do now. You can go ahead and retire. Go ahead and ride off into the sunset because, good Lord, there's nothing else that man could do at this point, at that point, if that should happen.
That's true. Hey, and this year had nothing else to do, but, you know, hey, he wants to play to 45, and every day he keeps playing and still looking good. The TB12 method, the avocado ice cream, it sells more and more ice cream handles here, so there it is.
I forgot about that. Avocado ice cream with some strawberries, I think, right? Is that the recipe we got to go after? How about the Farmers Insurance Open preview? Stephen Hennessy, he joins the program to help us out with golf. Cannot wait to get his insight on that. That's coming up next right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, we're gearing up for the big game here at VSIN, along with keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. And we're excited to introduce The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw from 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. We also have our big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon to help you get ready for the Super Bowl and all the betting action and prop action as well. You can also find our lineup at vsin.com or in your daily vsin subscriber email. Make sure to check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on vsin, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum. Happy to bring on to the program. Excited about this. Stephen Hennessy from Golf Digest. Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Mike. Doing great. How about you?
Doing great. Doing great. I want to ask you about these matchups and about the golfing event, certainly this week. But I saw something interesting in Golf Digest about this tournament coming up. We know about Torrey Pines, and we know about this tournament. We know about this course. But also later on this year is going to be the U.S. Open site. And Golf Digest suggested that this could be a reconnaissance for some players out there in terms of trying to just get their game in shape and get familiar with the course and gear up for that major later on in the year. So from a betting standpoint, any players that stand out to you that I can erase that might look at this course or this event that way and gear up for that U.S. Open?
Yeah, interesting question. I think, you know, someone off the bat who jumps out is Brooks Koepka. You know, he's someone who we always see perform well at the majors, like I said on the show before. So he especially will be using this week, I think, as just kind of a, you know, like you said, a reconnaissance for the U.S. Open, which will be in June. No Tiger Woods this week. Obviously has the back surgery, like we found out last week. So that's disappointing, but hopefully he's back in June for the U.S. Open. Hopefully he's close to 100%. The two names at the top are the big heavy favorites, Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy. Both of them have a few question marks, and you know they're such low odds. Rahm is 7-1. Rory's like 8-1. Rahm withdrew last week, so you know a little question mark about his health. Apparently, he sustained some gym injury while he's working out, but he's here and he has such great history here at Torrey Pines. So you know it's tempting to play him. He has a win. He has a runner up. Another top five finish, so strong history here, and so does Rory, but he's just making the trip over from Abu Dhabi, and he had a disappointing finish there. He was in the mix and let it go down the stretch. He's only played here twice, but both top fives, so obviously, you know, they're rightfully at the top of the odds board, but the few question marks for them lead me a little bit down the way.
Steven, this is Josh, and hey, this is becoming a thing. Every week you're joining us. I love this. Getting the golf people what they want here. So this is great. And I did want to mention too, pretty cool to your sport that you cover. Did see that NBC PGA Tour Points Bet, they're doing this new live betcast thing that sounds pretty cool. And yes. I think, you know, at Beeson, we've done some of these betcasts, and they've been really, really fun. And that just goes to show you, you know, just the evolution of sports betting. And you can be watching a PGA Tour event and then a split screen talking about, you know, odds and movement and live betting and stuff. So it's really cool the way the PGA has gotten out in front of sports betting and really embraced it. So that's a credit to you and the sport you cover. But Steven, real quick, you hit on it a little bit. This course here, who does it suit course form? You mentioned it a little bit here, but if you can just expound upon the big names that have done well here and maybe anyone down the list, maybe a flyer type person or a matchup or a top 20, just maybe give us a couple names that you're looking out for here.
For sure. Yeah. Torrey Pines is a course that year over year, we see the same names kind of contend. So, you know, there's always a debate among the community, like, do you favor course form over current performance? And, you know, you see these names at the top of the leaderboard at Torrey Pines year after year. I said Rahm's, you know, great history here. Tony Finau is someone that is a bit of a, he can't get over the hump in terms of winning. Last week, he was so close. And he hasn't gotten that win that he's been looking for. He has his Puerto Rico win in 2017, but hasn't won since. And he has something like 36 top tens since that win, which is by far and away the most top tens without a win out of any player. So I'm not advocating for him to win necessarily, although I'm personally going to put some money on it. But I think matchup-wise, you could get Finau over Xander Schauffele, who's another low odds guy. He's 12-1 this week, but he's played at Torrey Pines five times. He's missed the cut in four of them, which doesn't totally make sense because his game, you would think, would translate well to Torrey Pines, and he actually grew up right there outside San Diego. So it doesn't totally make sense, but Finau, again, has that great history at Torrey Pines. He's actually gained more than 27 strokes over the last 3 years against the field. That's Tiger-like numbers, so I'm targeting Finau over Xander. And in terms of a flyer down the board, I do like Gary Woodland quite a bit. I think his game matches what you have to do well at Torrey Pines. He's 80-1. He was dealing with a lot of injuries the past couple months. He struggled toward the end of 2020, but he had a top 20 finish last week at the Amex. And, you know, this is a course where you really need to bomb it. You need to hit your irons well. And it looked like both of those things were back for Woodland. So 80-1 seems like a really nice number for him.
You know, Steven, real quick, in terms of philosophy, when you want to bet either matchups or top tens, top five finishes, you know, players that are beginning their season, since we are, and we are in January, short off season, when you think about the Masters and that tournament, that major that everybody got geared up for, certainly. But now you have Torrey Pines. People look forward to that. Should we not overestimate how good these golfers are playing right now, or are they on top of their games?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question because there's a lot of guys who are making their debut this week. Like Jason Day is one of them. I think this is a course that should really fit his game. You know, you got to hit your irons well, but you're going to miss a decent amount of greens, and he's probably the best scrambler in the world. So I like him like plus 400 for a top 10 bet. But, you know, you have guys who have played the last couple of weeks, so at least you can rely on their form a bit. Hideki Matsuyama's one of those guys. He had a great finish in his last outing at the Sony, Harris English too. So it's a thing you have to weigh in golf betting, especially this earlier in the year. You know, their current form versus, you know, what you expect of them at this course. So that's something you got to weigh.
Absolutely. We definitely will do that. Enjoy your appearances on Betting Across America. We really do. Thanks so much for your time, Stephen Hennessy.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Josh.
Absolutely. Looking forward to those appearances because golf is here. We all like to play golf, right? Whether or not we can play as good as the pros, it doesn't matter. We can bet on it. Coming up next, we're going to get to some leans, some picks, some college hoops, too, as we wrap up the program. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Start the year with a risk-free first bet up to $500 at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today. Use bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500 on your first wager. Now you can bet with confidence at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, 800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada, 800-GAMBLER, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, and Tennessee. Call or text the red line, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. And Josh, as we kind of flew through the program show today, incredible. You know, I didn't mention Antonio Brown for Tampa is kind of probable to play. Does that impact your thinking? That probably enhances your thinking, too, is if you want to back Tom Brady and the Buccaneers here in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you get a good player and you can add him in offensively, do different things. But kind of the other way is like the thing with Antonio Brown. And again, I'm a Pats guy. I saw it last year with Brady and Antonio Brown. Number one, Brady loves Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. I don't understand the fascination with him, but Brady loves the guy. I just don't want to have to force feed Antonio Brown touches in the Super Bowl. I'd love Brady to not lock on someone. I'd love him to, you know, if Scotty Miller's open. I tell you that that young receiver Johnson, Pritch, mm-hmm. that guy has been incredible. So I'll take any good player you can get. But sometimes I feel like Antonio Brown, it's all about getting him touches when it should just be, let's throw the open guy. But I'll take him, especially to me. I think, Pritch, those safeties being back, Winfield, Whitehead, I think that's going to be probably more important than the headlines with Antonio Brown returning possibly.
Yeah, he's 40-1. If everybody wants to know about the Super Bowl MVP odds, that'd be incredible if he won Super Bowl MVP. Let's get to some college hoops. Because there's some plays out there, I think, that you're interested in, Josh. And let's start with UNC and Pitt.
Yeah, so this one caught my eye, Pritch, and this is kind of a classic contrarian play. You know, if you're looking for, like me, a bet against the public type better, try to take advantage of inflated lines, big line moves, buying low, kind of betting against public bias. The Pitt Panthers are one of your top plays of the night here because look at UNC, they're 9-5, 5-8-1 ATS, Pittsburgh 8-3, 7-4 ATS. Tar Heels have won two straight. Pittsburgh just lost a tough game by 1 point. They're a 2-point favorite against Wake. What I like about this one here, Pritch, is just the fact that this is one of the most lopsided, heavily bet games of the night, and everyone's backing UNC, the name on the jersey. And this line opened at North Carolina -2. The line is now up to -3.5. So heavy, heavy betting with UNC has pushed this line up to 3.5. What I like about buying low on Pittsburgh +3.5, number one, KenPom has UNC winning this game by 1 point. So not only do you have a slight KenPom edge there, but just kind of a classic situation of buying low off a line move and inflated line opportunity. So give me the Pitt Panthers. I'll grab a 3.5. I'll take a 3-point loss, but how about we just win the game and don't make me sweat in this one, although I'm sure I will.
Yeah, no, I look forward to that. I mean, this game certainly You know, North Carolina and, you know, Duke has their issues, what's going on there. But, no, I'm intrigued by that. And I'm intrigued by that line movement, too. How about St. Louis and Dayton here? St. Louis could be Cinderella in terms of Sweet 16. I'm eyeing St. Louis in that fashion. Josh, are you looking at St. Louis the same way?
Yeah, St. Louis. They've been interesting here, and you always R.I.P. Rick Majerus, one of the great coaches there, no longer with us. But St. Louis here, they're ranked 22nd. KenPom has them winning by 8 points in this one. Dayton, remember Obi Toppin, and you know they've been kind of a sneaky team last few years. This line seems to be moving a little bit towards St. Louis. It was -9. It's 9, 9.5. It's really been trending in their direction pretty much the whole time. I'd be leaning a little bit with Dayton in the points as a road, you know, conference unranked team versus a ranked team. But right. Other than that, I don't see too much there. One thing I did want to throw at you, Pritch, though, Georgia Tech and Duke. Okay. You just mentioned Duke a second ago. This is going to be a 9 o'clock game. This is another very heavily bet late spot here. And I think Coach K, you saw him kind of go after that that poor school newspaper reporter there, right, asking him what his major is. And that kind of tells you they're getting a little testy there. Duke is not playing to the standards they're used to. So the funny thing here, I think, is you can kind of bet against that. The public is still backing Duke. They're the Dukies. They're Coach K. Yeah, they're, what are they, 5-5, but they'll easily roll and get back on track. But I think you can capitalize on that bias because this line opened Duke around a 5, 5.5 point favorite. This line got up to 6, but a lot of these sixes are coming back down to 5.5 here, Pritch. And don't sleep on Georgia Tech in this spot because Georgia Tech just had a big win against Clemson, and they only lost by 2 their last game to Virginia. So if I'm getting the points here, a 6 with Georgia Tech, I'd be looking at grabbing it there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Duke, not in a position that they're accustomed to, or a situation. How about that? Coach K, you know, he's been lobbying a little bit for postponement early on, and so maybe, you know, the writing was on the wall at that point. So Duke, maybe they can get it together. I'm sure Josh, Coach K, he's a special kind of coach. But a good matchup there for Georgia Tech, though, maybe grabbing those points. I agree with you on that one. How about back to hockey? Anything standing out to you in terms of some sports betting action that you might be participating in?
Yeah, bunch here in the hockey. Get ready. You got a pen and a paper here, Pritch?
I do. I do. Night
tonight. Yeah. I will mention real quick, keep an eye on Tennessee over. We mentioned it earlier, 126.5. Butler over has really, really dropped against UConn. It's down to 122.5, that total. Okay. KenPom out at 124. So keep an eye on the Butler over, Tennessee over. That matches that that game earlier today with Temple, the 127 or less total going over around 73% of the time if you want to sweat a low total over. But yeah, Pritch, so many games to pick from today. So number one, Philadelphia Flyers. If you look at the Flyers tonight, they're on the road at the New Jersey Devils. They've pretty much been a favorite the whole time, but they were -140-ish. They're up around -145. And a lot of these systems that have been really cashing for me this year, favorites off a loss versus a team off a win, 17-3. Rested favorites versus a quote-unquote tired team. You have an extra day of rest for the Philadelphia Flyers in this spot. So look at the Flyers to bounce back a little bit, matching a bunch of those system plays that we mentioned. We talked about Nashville earlier in the show, Pritch. Some COVID concerns here with Chicago. They're already undermanned without Jonathan Toews. That line was -160 to -175. So they've been moving up here with a lot of home favorite off a loss system matches there as well. Keep an eye out on Minnesota Wild. They're at home against the LA Kings here. They're on -155 at home, and they would match another system there, the favorite off a loss, home favorite. And then kind of late night, one system, you know, it's, you'll like this, Pritch, your Colorado Avs here. They're coming off a loss, and they're a -200 favorite. They got down to around -195. Now they're creeping back up with the Avs here. But so far this year, Colorado, they match this home favorite off a loss. But also, when you're looking at a favorite -200 or more this year, they're 8-2 so far, straight up. And you are a little bit in the green here, even though you're laying those big numbers. So there's a lot of games tonight here, Pritch. I'm excited to sweat them all. My Bruins, they're getting hit a little bit on the other way. Pittsburgh has fallen. But my Bees would match a couple systems here, rested versus tired, and also a home favorite system. So I'm going to have a lot of action here, Pritch. I'm excited. It's a big night tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I haven't participated from a betting standpoint in hockey yet. I'm getting closer and closer as I learn more and more. Dwayne Colucci was outstanding earlier. You're always outstanding breaking down these games and these betting situations too. One question about the Avs. For you, Josh, I mean, some people say that they're playing well. And this is my issue, I think, with hockey. Whether it's overtime losses or not, whether your record indicates if you're playing well or not, watching the game, style of play, what I see with my eyes, and trying to make a bet as well. The Avs, a lot of people are saying they're playing well. But, you know, the record or the numbers don't suggest that right now. But yet, against the Sharks, it could be a good matchup for them.
Yeah, it could be a good matchup. And I think, you know, if you really get nitty gritty into hockey, and our guy, Andy McNeil, does a great job of this. You look at kind of the advanced metrics. There's Corsi. There's all these different expected goals, different numbers you can look at. But you are right. Colorado was kind of anointed during the offseason as one of the Stanley Cup favorites. A team that played well in the bubble, is young, up and coming. Nathan MacKinnon and a lot of these kind of improvements they've made in the offseason to get even better here. But you're right. They're 3-3. They're really not off to probably the start they would want. They've lost two of the last three. But to me, a lot of times you can buy low on teams that are coming off a loss. And really, a lot of these systems that I talked about, these favorites off a loss versus a team that just won. I know if you're probably listening to me, you're like, what the hell is he talking about? What does that even mean? But it does make a lot of sense in hockey, because hockey is the kind of game where the guys in the room, you're off a bad loss, you want to bounce back and get right back out there. I think it's a kind of a narrative you hear across all sports, but It may hold some weight in hockey. These guys are just wired differently. So if you're betting on a favorite off a loss in a bounce back spot, the data that I've looked at really kind of holds true that these teams do well. So, Colorado -2. You may want to grab them sooner rather than later. Pritch, if you're going to ride with me here on the Avs, you may want to get the 200 now, because it looks like it may go up to 210. And here's the other thing, Pritch. When you're betting hockey, a lot of my systems are on a lot of favorites. Make sure you bet to risk, not bet to win. So what that means is, you know, if you're betting Colorado -200 tonight, you're not risking two units to win one unit. You're just risking your one unit trying to get a half unit back, because That's the thing. When you're betting favorites a lot, you can get into trouble. If you bet five favorites, -150, -175, -200, and you go 0-5, you could lose 10 units because you're laying these big numbers. Whereas if you flat bet, you're only going to lose your five units if you go 0-5. So just keep that in mind. Bet to risk, not bet to win. But Pritch, I can't wait. It's going to be a big night tonight, my guy.
Yeah, it is going to be a big night. I'm looking forward to it. I might participate in that one just to kind of feel it out, because you're right. I mean, the favorites from that standpoint, you're paying up. So the bankroll management, you know, from a unit standpoint, be careful right there, because you are paying up in hockey, right?
Exactly. And one thing I wanted to credit you for saying earlier, props. We're going to hear a lot about props. Don't go too crazy with props, because you would hate to, you know, sweat -3.5. They cover for you, but you went 0-5 with your props and you throw away all your winnings on the game. So just pick your spots with the props.
That's right. You could run in mud when it comes to props. Speaking of that, for the Super Bowl, great job as always, Josh. We'll see you back here on the program tomorrow.
Thanks, Pritch.
All right. That'll do it for us today. My guys in the desert coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.